What an evening. And we've only just begun. Let's do this thing. Guys, that highlights video was something special, wasn't it? It was absolutely incredible. Just start shouting out, what are some of your highlights from this week? Give me some of your highlights from this week. What's been good? Yes. Yes. Well, look, I'll be honest. We've had some serious highlights, but nothing much really compares to just spending an incredible time with you, worshiping, seeing the joy on your faces. It has been an absolute privilege. I've loved it. And on top of all that, I'm so excited because the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, has been preached this week over and over and over again, and it has been absolutely incredible. Why? Because we live in a broken world filled with sadness, sin, pain, and death. However, that's not the end because of what God has done. Jesus came down to earth 2,000 years ago as a man. He lived a perfect, holy life. He died for the sins of the world, and then three days later, he rose again. And now we are free to enjoy a relationship with God the Father, free of sin and shame. Amen? Amen. And if you're from a background where when someone does this, you say amen, or preach it, or yes, just be released to do that this evening, okay? But if you're from a background where you just sit quietly and take notes, you do that, all right? You are free to do that as well. What I just said was that's the gospel. That's the good news. And it has the power to change your life. Has anyone's life been changed this week? Yes. Has anyone experienced physical healing this week? Has anyone experienced freedom from anxiety, from anger, from depression, from sadness, from anything that's holding you back? Yes, yes. We are the witnesses. We are evidence that the gospel changes lives. Just like we heard, we are the great cloud of witnesses right now. But not only does the gospel have the power to change your life, it has the power to change the communities around you. And I genuinely believe that the gospel, through your generation, has the power to change the entire world. Because we can see it. The world is broken. It's divided. People are trying to divide us based on the differences between us. People are trying to twist everything and fill our heads with false information. That world can be reversed by your generation, powered by the gospel. Now, let me tell you, that's what I'm talking about, yes. Let me tell you about a time in my life. I was around your age, I was about sort of 17. I was at a youth festival a bit like this, and I was kind of in that like section of the room over there. And I'm quite a head person, I'm a thinker. And as a science teacher, that comes in handy, right? I'm a thinker, not a feeler. But in that moment, something happened, and I just started experiencing God's grace. And when I say God's grace, what I mean is, it's when God, you get that sense that God's given you a free gift. And in that moment, I had that sense of the free gift that God had given me. That is his love, his blessing, his joy. And I hadn't earned any of it. I was a sinful person. I still am a sinful person, but he'd given me that gift for free. And then the tears started coming. And let me tell you, right? Zeke, he's a crier, okay? Me, I'm not a crier, okay? But when I do cry, I cry ugly tears. Do you know what I mean? Right? My face is like this, and I've just got the tears coming down, and snot coming out my nose, and I don't know what's going on, right? And seriously, it was just like that. And my poor youth leader, Libby, she's here somewhere, she was gracious enough to put up with me, listen to me babbling on like this, and pray for me. Because what happened was, the gospel had started moving from my head to my heart. And that was the start of a journey that I'll tell you a little bit more about in a minute. But if, like me, you believe that the gospel changes lives, and we are the evidence of that this week, we need to hear this message tonight. Because the Bible tells us that while the gospel has the power to change lives, it depends on how it's received by the people that hear it. It depends on how it's received. So I'm going to open up the word, and I'm going to read from Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 15. And this is quite a chunk of text, right? But that's okay. Because when the Bible first started coming into being, it wasn't a Bible. It wasn't a book filled with little books, right? It was actually just people saying these words over and over together. They'd gather together and they'd hear what other people had to say. They'd tell the stories of Jesus Christ. So settle in. It's story time with Ben. Let's do it. Starting with verse 4. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell on the path. It was trampled on and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plant. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than what was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant, and he said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. This is the word of the Lord. Yes. Thank you very much. Now, Jesus is attracting huge crowds of people from far and wide, and he chooses to speak to them in parables. We've heard a bit about that this week, but basically, he's expressing secrets of the kingdom of God in a way that means that people who want to hear the message hear it, and the people who are just there for other reasons don't hear it. But if you want to hear that message this evening, the seed that Jesus is talking about is the good news of the gospel. That life-changing gospel. And just like the parable, that seed has been scattered far and wide this week. But the parable tells us that the gospel spreads around and falls on different types of ground, different people who respond in different ways. Now, who can tell me one of the types of ground? Come on, shout it out. What we got? The path. Yes, I got that. Rocky ground. Hold on. Thorns, yes. And the? Good soil. You got it. Well done. Now, first, we've got the path represented by this trusty paving slab right here. That's going to stay over here. Yes. Give it up for paving slabs. Woo! It's good to walk on, but not so good for seed. It's a bit like this, right? We've been talking about cups and water a lot this week. And the path is a bit like this, right? God wants to pour his good news, his gospel, into your heart. And if you're the path, that's what's going on. Take your cup, turn it around, and what happens? Oh, no, that's just... Nothing's happening right now. Forget overfilling. Our cup isn't getting filled at all, okay? So we've got the path. Nothing's going in whatsoever. Then we've got the rocky ground. Thank you very much indeed for that. We've got this, oh yes, look at that. This big old pile of rocks that go in your garden. We could do some curls there. That'd be great. Yes. Woo! Love that. That's a bit like, rather than the cup that's ready to be filled up, the cup's been crushed. And yes, okay, yeah, we can fill it up a little bit. Yeah, we can fill it up. Yeah, okay. But that cup is not achieving its true potential. There's not enough space for it to be fully filled, okay? So the gospel's getting poured in, but there's not enough space for the gospel to do much else. It's a bit like the seed that falls on the path is not going to go anywhere. The seed that falls on the rocky ground, yes, it does get planted, but the roots don't go deep. That crop isn't going to be strong. Then we move on to the thorns. Now, we think of the thorns in a negative way, so it might seem a little bit weird that I've got some roses here. They're very beautiful, very nice. The reason I picked roses, I'll tell you a little bit about that later, but the reason I picked roses is because we all know that roses have... Yeah, buddy. Right, there we go. Now, the roses are a bit like this. We've got our cup. It's looking good. It's the right way up. It's not crushed. We've got plenty of space. But what happens? Oh gosh. We've got the holes. No, that cup is not filling its potential. It cannot get filled up because as the good news of the gospel gets poured in, it just comes straight back out again. It's like the seed. Yes, it gets planted. Yes, the roots grow deep. Yes, the shoots come up, but the thorns just choke it so it cannot thrive. And finally, it's the best bit, we've got our good soil. Yeah, that's right. It's specially screened, graded, weed-free. Very nice. Look at that. Hold on. Oh, goodness me. That's just like what Susie and Zeke said at the beginning of the week. We've got our cup. It's not crushed. It's ready to be filled. There are no holes. So what can happen? Oh, I'm going to need some more water. Here we go. Not only does the cup get filled up, but what happens to it? It overflows. Yes. I am so sorry I am making such a mess. That's when the seed of the good news of the gospel falls on the soil. Its roots go deep. It springs up from the ground, and that's it. And you get a crop up to 100 times what was sown. Now, let's be honest. Which type of ground do you want to be? Of course you do. Of course, obviously, the best response to the gospel is the good soil. The Bible tells us it's people of noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. People who grow and multiply that life-changing gospel up to 100 times what was sown. Do you want that good soil? Do you want to multiply that crop up to 100 times what was sown? Now, you say yes, but we need to hear this message because these verses tell us that not everyone will. We need to get our good soil prepared because, listen up, only fertile faith produces fruit. And I'm going to say that a few times this evening. And when I say only fertile faith produces, I want you to say, that's it. Let's try it. Only fertile faith produces. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Let's go. Number one, we've got the path. We've already talked a little bit about the path. We've got four types of ground. Only one of them is fertile. Has anyone heard the gospel of Jesus for the first time this week? Yes. Has anyone heard the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ over and over again like I have? It might be a life-changing, world-shaking, chain-breaking gospel of good news, but you don't have to receive it if you don't want to. Ultimately, it's your choice. You may think, I don't believe that a loving God could love me. I'm not good enough. I've done too many things that are wrong. Or you may think, I don't want to give up control of my life to someone else. Thank you very much. Or you may just think, I'm just not that bothered. I don't really believe this stuff. I'm happy to come to DTI in the summer, but I don't really believe. Ultimately, if you don't want to receive the free gift of the gospel, that's your choice. But if there is any part of you that is interested in Jesus or the gospel this evening, please do not leave without seriously considering whether you want to say yes to Jesus. These verses tell us that if the seed of the gospel falls on the path and is not accepted by the hearer, then it may well just get snatched away by the devil. We've heard a little bit about the devil and the enemy this week. Susie and Zeke talked about thieves and robbers that can come and snatch away that. That's right, yes. They can come and snatch away that seed of the gospel. Listen up, right? Our reality is not made up of a good God and just neutral, empty space. The Bible tells us that there are forces in this world that want to choke the gospel. They do not want you to receive the gospel, and they do not want it to thrive. Those thieves and robbers that snatch it away by saying things like, you're not good enough, or the Christian life is boring. It makes me think of some of my teaching this year. Not that it was boring, but I mentioned that I'm a science teacher, and I had a year 11 class this year, Tuesday, period 5. I've seen at least one of them this week. Absolute dream of a class. I love teaching them. And we were in a classroom. It was the first floor. And there was this nice big window all the way along the room. And you looked out the window and you saw the fields. And there was like blue sky, green grass. Don't start singing that song. There was blue sky. There was green grass. And it was gorgeous. The problem was that there was a PE class going on at the same time, right? So in the winter, there was like a game of football going on outside. And in the summer, there's athletics going on outside. And some of my students would just slowly start to get distracted by looking out of that window, right? Now, listen up. If you are trying to teach someone something, first, they need to hear what you have to say. If they hear what you have to say, they then have to understand what they've heard. If they understand what they've heard, they then need to apply what they've understood, especially if they're doing things like GCSEs. But the problem is, if you don't hear what the person has said, it doesn't matter how much understanding or how much application is going on, you've missed it. And I can think of a few students in particular. I had two students that were like here, and then I had another student in the back corner, kind of over there. And I'd often had to say, hey, come on, focus, let's go, come on. Because I didn't want them to miss what I was gonna say. Because I knew that if they didn't hear it, they wouldn't be able to understand it, and they wouldn't be able to apply it. I didn't want them to miss it. So if the good news about a loving God who came to earth to save you is of any interest, don't miss your chance this evening. If the good news of a life spent without fear and shame sounds good to you, don't leave without saying your yes to Jesus tonight. Believing the gospel is what makes us Christians. It's what brings us into the family of God. So open yourself up to God tonight. Ask God to show you his love tonight. Because listen up. If there really is no God, you've got nothing to lose, right? But if there really is a God, then you've got everything to gain. Or think about it like this. If there really is a God, then maybe you've got, if you don't receive the gospel, you've got everything to lose. And I don't want to scare anyone. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to make it super clear to you this evening that if you want to receive the good news of the gospel, say your yes to Jesus, because only fertile faith produces faith. That's what I'm talking about. Now, we've talked about this paving slab over here. The seed of the gospel is not going anywhere on this bad boy. Let's move on to the rocky ground. Let's move on to this one right here. There we go. Oh, goodness me, there's so much water up here. Right, tell me. Who's heard the parable of the sower before? Who's heard those verses before? Yes, of course. I remember hearing them multiple times when I was younger. I remember hearing people preach on them. And when I was younger, I thought that there were just four different types of people who heard the gospel in four different types of ways. So if you're like a rocky ground type of person, that's just you. That's it. But the more that I've read and the more that I've understood, the way that I think it is now is that there aren't just four different types of people. We can receive the gospel in different ways at different times. Now, when we first hear the gospel, we may well get really excited, right? Just like at DTI, we're jumping up and down, we're singing worship songs with thousands of other young people, and we're like, yes, this is amazing. Amen. Woo, I'm fully in. Yes, yes. But, and please hear this, are we actually just the rocky ground? Is there any depth to what you believe Or is it just excitement in the moment? Because these verses tell us that without any depth to our faith, at the first sign of difficulty, we just turn away. We can read about things like this in John chapter 6, when Jesus has some pretty intense words for his followers, and it tells us this. It says, "From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him." I don't think they had that depth. I'll give you an example from when I went away to university. It was just after the time when I was sat over there and the gospel was moving from my head to my heart and I had snot in my nose and tears in my eyes, all that sort of business. Now, I'd grown up going to church. I love going to church. I love my youth group. I was lucky enough to have an incredible mother who taught me a biblical sense of right and wrong. And when I went away to university, I knew what I was supposed to do. Right? I tried a few churches, I had a daily Bible reading, and I was trying to stay away from things like drunkenness and messing around with girls and gossip and all that sort of business. I had some good intentions, but I didn't have the spiritual depth or maturity for the gospel to be the center of my life. And before I knew it, I'd settled for like a dull version of life. I wasn't living life to the full. Now, I'll give you an example about the drinking thing, right? I knew that I wasn't supposed to be going out drinking. And the way that I took it, I had like a rules-based system in my head. So I just said to myself, right, what I'm supposed to do is just not drink as much as everyone else, right? Or when it comes to messing around with girls, I just didn't get quite as physically intimate as everyone else. Or when it came to like going to church, I went to church, but I just didn't really get fully involved. And I remember when I came home around Christmas time and I went to church and I caught up with another youth leader and he was grilling me on my time at university and he was asking me, he's like, how many girls have you kissed? And let me tell you, he was not impressed with my answer, all right? Now, I didn't get it at the time because I had that rules-based system. The gospel was at a surface level in my life. So when it came to the drinking thing, for example, my head was saying, right, as long as I don't go out and get as wasted as everyone else, it's all good. The gospel hadn't changed my heart so I could make decisions from a place of my heart. I was a rules-based system. The gospel was only at the surface level. So rather than thinking about it like this, I'm not going to go out drinking that much because I want to stay in control of my thoughts and I want to stay in control of my behaviors. I was just like, yeah, I just don't want to throw up like everyone else. That was a spiritual challenge in my life and I failed. My faith was there, but the gospel was surface level. It hadn't gone deep. And if I'm honest, I wasted 2 years of my life at university not thriving. But it was not the end. Because of the grace of God, when I decided to change my ways and turn around, he, of course, was there. I decided to pick those stones out of the soil. I put some fresh soil on top. I joined a church, I committed to it, I got involved in a small group, and I spent time with believers who worked with me to deepen my faith. Yes. So the gospel is exciting, it's life-changing, especially here at DTI, but faith isn't made in these momentary highs, okay? The gospel doesn't thrive in these momentary highs. It thrives, faith is made, in those times when we're just living out the gospel day by day by day. So if you are excited to live a life committed to Jesus Christ, don't rely on excitement. Go for depth. Plants rarely grow on the mountaintops. They thrive in the gentle foothills. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. So if you want to go for depth, you need to read this book. You need to sing songs of worship to the Lord. You need to get committed to a church. You need to get involved in a youth group. You need to spend time with other believers. You need to share your faith with other people. You need to fail and then get up again and try it again. You need to pray for healing. You need to expect for things to happen. And you need to wait for things to happen. That's what we want. Are we really up for doing the stuff that this book talks about? Are we really believing this book? If you already have a faith in Jesus, please ask yourself this question. How deep is the seed of the gospel in my life right now? Am I actually just rocky ground right now? Am I well up for worshiping Jesus with thousands of people at DTI, but actually when I go home to school or college or work, it's not that exciting anymore? Maybe this year you need to get some deeper soil. Don't be like me. If you go for depth now, you're less likely to stumble and fall like I did. Remember, only fertile faith produces. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, so we've covered the path. We've covered the path. We've covered the rocky ground. There we go. I'm glad you don't have to pick you up again. Now, let's talk about the thorns, okay? Oh, hello. A little bit spiky. I mean, I suppose that's what they're supposed to do, isn't it? Right. The path and the rocky ground aren't that fertile. Now, the thorns are interesting because these verses tell us that maybe we've got some good soil. Maybe our roots have gone nice and deep. The gospel's working its way into our life. Even if we have that faith, we can still have thorns. Ow. There we go. We can still, oh, hello. We can still have thorns that can rise up and choke the power of the gospel in our lives. These thorns, the verses tell us, are life's worries, riches, and pleasures. It's not just the bad stuff that can choke the gospel, it's the good stuff too. Riches and pleasures that can distract you from your relationship with God. So what sort of thorns are we talking about? The parable says that the farmer is just chucking that seed out there, and the thorns are just there. They're growing up from the ground. They're different to what the seed is that he's throwing out there. Now tell me, who recognizes this image? What is it? It's a dandelion, of course. We all know what dandelions are. Now, dandelions will grow anywhere and everywhere. And any gardener will tell you that if you see one of these bad boys in your garden, you need to get it out, okay? Not just the flower, not just the leaves, root and stem. You need to dig that whole thing out. Now, when the Bible talks about these thorns, I think that it can be a bit like that dandelion. Jesus says in Matthew 5, if your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. Now, he's not telling us to actually physically injure ourselves, okay? It's called hyperbole. He's making a really big point to say he's serious about sin and temptation. Sometimes we just need to get things out. Now, I'll give you an example. About the time, like before I was in a room like this at the back with snot and crying and all that sort of business, I was just finished my GCSEs and I had a group of friends that I'd known since primary school. None of them had a faith in Jesus, but they were good friends. We'd been through a lot together. And if I'm honest, I was like the only one that really had a kind of like a real vision for my future and really wanted to kind of make something of my future. My other friends were more interested in like what they were gonna be smoking that evening. That was kind of where their focus was. And one time when I was like 16, 17, one of my friends, his parents went away for a week and we were just well excited to basically just have a big old house party for like a whole week long. And I can remember after a particularly heavy night, and I won't go into details, I'm sure you can fill in the blanks, but I remember thinking to myself, looking at what was going on and thinking to myself, this is living life to the full for my friends. But to me, it just seemed dead. It was fun in the moment, but it wasn't life-giving. There was no future to it. It felt dry and hollow. And in that moment, I thought to myself, I'm gonna have to uproot these friends. Now, it sounds harsh, and I wish if I was deeper in my faith and I had that root that I talked about earlier, I wish I could have shared the gospel with them, perhaps changed some hearts, right, and taken them with me. But I didn't have that depth. I lost out, they lost out. But I will say this. We don't want to leave people behind, but if we look in the book, in the first letter of Corinthians, chapter 15, Paul quotes a Greek poet from the time who says, "Bad company corrupts good character." Another popular saying from the internet at the moment, it's an unknown author, but they say this. They say, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Like Rachel said on Monday, we've got to think about who we spend our time with. So some thorns, like dandelions, we just got to get them out. But other thorns, a bit like these, are actually very beautiful. It's a bit like wildflowers in the garden. We've got some wildflowers at home. They look gorgeous. They're good for pollinators. They spread, you know, spread the bees. It's all good. The problem is, right, and I can tell you this from experience, you've got your wildflowers going on, and what happens? Over time, they just slowly creep and creep and spread and spread, and before you know it, they're everywhere, okay? So you've got to either dig them up and get rid of them, or you've got to cut them back, all right? You've got to keep them at bay. And I think that that's some of the thorns that these verses are talking about. I was reflecting recently on what thorns look like in my life right now, and beautiful thorns. I've got two beautiful children that I've mentioned already. They're absolutely amazing. I absolutely love them. But if I'm honest, over the last 2 years, I have been worrying too much about their future, right? And my wife and I were talking about this recently, and we were sort of saying that we're worrying too much about, you know, what's going to happen to them at school. How are they going to cope if they come into contact with bullies or people that are a bad influence? How are we going to deal with things like smartphones and all that sort of business? Now, my kids are amazing, but those worries have gotten too big. They started crowding out the gospel in my life. What about you? What are your worries right now? Are you worried about the exam results you're about to get? Or are you worried about the exams you're going to be taking next year? Or are you worried about the things that you're wearing? Are you worried about your makeup? About your body image? About going to the gym? Now, you may have realized, but I love trainers, right? Now, I may love trainers, but back when I was about your age, I basically came to the realization that I had too many pairs. Trainers had become too important, right? They'd become a bit of an idol in my life. It was crowding out the gospel, so I just had to give some away. Similarly, when I was a little bit older, I became too obsessed with body image, and I was going to the gym too much. So what I had to do, I just basically stopped going to the gym for like 2 years because it become too much of a thing. Each of us have thorns that threaten to crowd out the gospel in our lives. And Susie mentioned this earlier in the week, but I think that social media is like one of the ultimate thorns. Whatever's going on in your life, whatever worries, riches, pleasures, social media just amplifies them, magnifies them. It says, look at this over here. This person's got this. It's better than yours. You're missing out. You're not good enough. Personally, I got rid of social media a few years ago, but I still watch stuff on YouTube, and I've been challenged recently about how much time I spend on YouTube. So do you need to uproot social media from your life? Or do you need to cut it back? Whatever the thorns are, it's a good idea to pray. Josh told us the power of prayer earlier on in the week. It's also good to talk to trusted friends. I've got some friends that I talk to about all this stuff, and I really depend on them. I rely on them because friends can help you spot the thorns, they can help you get rid of them, and they can help you cut them back. And after that, to be honest, you've just got to leave it up to God. You've got to trust it to God. Because why? The book says so. Just like Zeke said on Sunday when he was talking about the Holy Spirit, we look in Romans 8, and it says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And later on, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I trust in this book, so I trust that God will do a good work in me, and he will do a good work in you. Because only fertile faith produces... Thank you very much. We're on to the last one. We've talked about the path. We've talked about the rocky ground. We've talked about the thorns. Now we're getting to the good one. We're talking about, we're talking about the good soil. Woo-hoo-hoo. Yeah, let's go. Here we go. Now, Luke says that when we keep the gospel in our hearts and minds and we keep living out of faith day to day, it changes our perspectives. Things like anxiety, things like depression, things like wealth and status and relationships and a self-esteem and identity, our perspectives change. They don't matter as much as other things. Our priorities change. Wounds are healed. And over time, with perseverance, we begin to see the fruit of the gospel flourish in our lives. Galatians 5 said, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Now leave that list up. Leave that list up. Look at that list. Who doesn't want to live like that? Who doesn't want a friend that lives like that? That's the fruit that we get from the gospel. And when we're trying to live out that gospel day to day, we see more of this fruit in our lives. And hopefully, the people around us see this fruit, they get interested, and the seed of the gospel can spread. Our faith can spread. Let me give you an example before we finish up. Let me give you an example. I mentioned last year at DTI that I belong to, I go to a small church down the road. And this small church, the church building's been around for like over 100 years, okay? There have been believers at that church for over 100 years. But the current leaders only started leading there just under 2 years ago. And before they got there, the congregation, the group of believers there, it was getting a bit smaller. They were facing some challenges. So these new leaders came in. They brought some other believers with them, believers who believe in the power of the gospel, and they want to see the gospel change their community, and things are getting exciting. Now, one Sunday morning, I think I was picking the kids up from like the hall next door. I was coming back round. There's still worship going on in the actual church building, and they're coming down the street. There are a young couple coming down the street with their toddler, and they're sort of looking in the church building, and they're like, "What's this going on?" And I'm like, "Oh, yes, worship music." And we kind of have a bit of a conversation, and I introduce them to the vicar. Now they're regular attenders. They're part of the kids' team. This is real stuff. In June, we baptized 5 people, right? Now, I don't know what church background you're from. 5 people may not sound like a big deal. Let me tell you, any number of people getting baptized is a big deal. People coming to faith in any number is a big deal. But let me tell you this. In this church that's been around for over 100 years, there had never been an adult baptism in this church ever. And we baptized 5 people in June. They were 17 up to 50 years old. It included 2 guys from the Middle East who had to flee their country because of perseverance. They were being persecuted because of their faith, and they had to flee their country. They were 2 of the 5 people that shared their testimony. This small group of believers is alive. We are seeing the fruit of the gospel spread. Now, when Jesus talks about perseverance in these verses, we can see it in the 12 disciples. You can open up, look in the book of Acts, look in Paul's writings, and we can see the disciples, they messed up. They made bad decisions. They were trying to figure things out. But over time, we read in Acts that they were changed. They matured in their faith, and then we see the fruit of the gospel. They're caring for the poor. They're feeding the hungry. They're sharing their possessions, and people come to faith in their thousands. Do you want this life? Do you want this fruitful life of faith? Only fertile faith produces. That's right. You are the future. This generation is the future. Ask yourself the question, what fruit have I seen in my life this last year? What I long for, what the DTI team longs for, and what God longs for more than anything is for a generation of young people that when the seed of the gospel is spread, it doesn't fall on the path and get snatched away. It doesn't fall on the rocky ground and not develop deep roots. It doesn't fall among the thorns and get choked up. It falls on the good soil. That's what God longs for more than any of us. If you want to see this fruit in your life, are you like the path? Do you need to potentially say your yes to Jesus tonight? Think about that. Are you the rocky ground? Do you need to go for depth? Do you need to get into this word? Do you need to listen to people preach the gospel and sing songs of worship? Do you need to spend more time with believers? Do you need to share your faith? Do you need to do all that stuff we talked about? Or are there thorns in your life that need uprooting, that need cutting back? Or if you are the good soil, if this is you, we've had 5 minutes of fire from so many people this week. We had a load of young people on the stage here this morning. If that's you, please share your faith with others. Help them take out the thorns from their lives. We need you. We need you to help this generation. We all want the good soil. And that's why we need to be in church communities, praying together, worshiping together, being real together. Let's desire good soil together. Because only fertile faith produces. You're the future. I want to see a future of lives changed. I want to see a future of communities changed. I want to see a future of the world changed. I want to see a fertile future, because only fertile faith produces. That's what I'm talking about.